Our New Testament reading this morning is a rather long story, but it's really intriguing. The Apostle Paul was traveling around the Greek world, talking about all the materials that he was trying to share with the world about Jesus, and he went on ahead of the others, and he got to Athens before anybody else in his party. So Paul is there by himself in Athens, and then he kind of gets confronted by the people of Athens. So listen for the word of God of Paul confronted in Athens. It's Acts 17, beginning in the 16th verse. While Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was deeply distressed. He saw that the city was full of idols. So he argued in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons there, and he also argued in the marketplace every day with everyone who happened to be there. All some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers debated with him. Some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others say, "He seems to be claiming foreign divinities." This was because Jesus was telling them the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. So they took him and brought him to the Areopagus and asked him, "May we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? It sounds rather strange to us, and we would like to know what it means." Now, all the Athenians and the foreigners living there in Athens, they would spend their time in nothing but telling and hearing new things. So then Paul stood in front of them in the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way, for as I went through your city and looked carefully at all of your objects of worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What you therefore worship as unknown, I proclaim to you is the God who made the world and everything in it. He is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since God himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the place where they would live so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is never far from any of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that deity is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by art and the imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed the day on which we will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some scoffed. But others said, "We will hear you again about this." And at that point, Paul left them. But some of them joined him, and they became believers, including Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Demarius, and others with them. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word among us. I know I'm a little weird, but I sometimes have an urge to watch Fox News. I know that's strange, but last week I was watching that strange channel, and I heard a couple of their anchors complaining about the horror of San Francisco values. They seem to think that here in this city, we live in some horrible den of sin and depravity. This is a terrible hell on earth, according to them. People here lie and cheat and steal, and horror of horrors, they have sex here. I don't know about you, but my experience of San Francisco has very little to do with those horrible values. I find this city to be diverse and interesting and open-minded, a little crazy at times, but certainly not a den of evil values. But most importantly, according to Fox News, the people of San Francisco are the most anti-religious zealots on earth. They're out to end the religion in the world. And maybe on this point, they're a little bit right. In fact, Time Magazine, whom I trust a little more often than Fox News, ranked San Francisco as number 3 in the most unbiblical cities in the country. We're right behind Boston and Providence, Rhode Island, by the way. I'm glad to know those New Englanders are a little worse than we are. But those of us sitting here, few as we are today, we're kind of throwbacks. We are here in church. We're not down the block having Eggs Benedict and bottomless mimosas at brunch. And in fact, when my friends ask me to go to brunch and I say I'm going to church, I get this horrified look. And they say, seriously? People still go to church? Well, they do. And in that, we are not unlike Paul in that Greek city of Athens we read about in Acts. Paul came to town preaching about a monotheistic almighty God who gives everything life and breath and in him whom we live and move and have our being, and about a Christ who forgives sins and raises from the dead. Paul insisted that this God is not worshipped in temples with gold and silver and stone, but that one true God walks by our side. The people of Athens scoffed. Paul said that everywhere he looked in Athens, he saw gold and silver and stone representations of gods, Greek gods and other religions and philosophical ideas that passed through this very cosmopolitan city. You know, this does kind of sound like us. San Francisco, the people of San Francisco do ridicule the traditional gods. And like it or not, we do have our shiny idols all over the place in this city. Just walk through Union Square and look at the Saks Fifth Avenue god of consumerism, not to mention the giant apple that everybody worships at the Apple store. Or walk down Van Ness Avenue after church today and look at the number of $100,000 BMWs and Jaguars you pass, idols of ego, if nothing else. And as you're looking around, count the temples to martinis and the shrines to the cocktail you see. I guarantee you, more San Franciscos were worshiping cocktails and martinis last night than are worshiping God today. And talk to the average person in this city and you will hear about Marxism and veganism and feminism and postmodernism and anti-racism and libertarianism and transgenderism, but you won't hear much about the one true God of the universe, even though God's involved in all of those things, I think. We do worship the ideological God of isms. And just try to buy even a modest home in this city and you will see how important is the God of wealth and money in this town. We have our idols here. And I'm sure Paul walking the streets of San Francisco would comment on them. And we do seem to want to reject and ridicule Paul's traditional theology, which reminds us of that repressive, right-wing, rule-bound way of living that many of us were raised in. Maybe San Francisco is Athens. And when Paul showed up in this town, he caused quite a stir. Paul, if you read much of his letters, he comes across as a bit of a firebrand. He doesn't have that friendly social butterfly mentality that a lot of people have. In fact, most people described him as rather annoying, and you get a little sense of that in this passage. I can imagine him prancing around San Francisco, tut-tutting over this and complaining about that, sounding a lot like Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. But then Paul ended up in the Areopagus, that little corner of the Acropolis in Athens, where people shared all kinds of strange ideas, and he argued with the philosophers there, the Epicureans and the Stoics. Again, not unlike San Francisco, I don't know about you, but almost any public gathering I have ever been to in this city, somebody is going to argue. We argue about whether we should only have gluten-free food in schools. Just last week, we argued about whether we should have bus stops 100 feet or 150 feet apart on Stockton Avenue. Then we had the huge argument of whether we should implode Candlestick Park or tear it down with a bulldozer. And how tall should buildings be on the waterfront? Believe me, you'll get a good argument going about that. This city seems to be the king city of arguments. So Paul debating with the Epicureans and Stoics, that would be everyday fare here in San Francisco. And listening to Paul's ideas, the locals scoffed at him and they called him a babbler. And they accused him of representing foreign gods. Oh my, is there any worse name that you can call somebody than to claim that that guy is not a real San Franciscan? Or worse, he's from Jerusalem. He's from L.A. So, St. Paul in this pagan city of Athens was not unlike how we Christians feel in this city of San Francisco. We spend a lot of time looking askance at troubling things we see around here, and we too babble about Jesus in what sometimes feels like a foreign city. But that's not the end of the story. There's more to it if you look more closely. There was something more important that Paul saw there, and he was more than just a foreign babbler in a foreign city, pagan city. Paul discovered in Athens what I think we all know about San Francisco. People here and people there are searching for something. They are looking for what Paul called the unknown God. Acts tells us that Paul saw that in Athens. He found an altar there with an inscription to an unknown God, and then he saw clearly, he states this, that the people of Athens spent their time in nothing but telling and hearing new things. There was a sense of wonder, an openness, a delight in learning new ideas amongst the people of Athens. Just like in San Francisco, there seemed to be a longing to find something that was missing, to find the unknown God. That is certainly true in this city. People flock to San Francisco from all over the country, coming here to escape the narrow confines of their conservative and closed-minded upbringing in their hometowns. They come here seeking new things and new ideas, and here they find plenty of those, new perspectives on things. But often they don't find what they're looking for. San Francisco is full of seekers who sometimes don't find what they're seeking and rarely even know what they're looking for. San Francisco is full of lost and lonely people. They have rejected the values with which they were raised, but they can't find anything to replace them. So they resort to all those idols Paul shows us. They go shopping. They buy technology. They have sex. They drink to excess. They party a lot. They explore strange new religions and belief systems. And they dye their hair green and they wander the streets naked. And they argue in the Areopagus. If you notice on the front of the bulletin, there's some statistics about San Francisco, and you can see for yourself, we have a very different kind of city. People here don't have the same belief structure as a lot of people. We have about three times as many people in this city who say they don't believe in God, and more than twice, almost twice as many people in this city say they don't go to church as they would in any other city in this country. We have a city that is not very religious, but we are still looking for things in this city. So, as we wander around this city and hear the arguments going on and think about the people of this city, they are like the Athenians, looking for their unknown God. They're hoping for new ideas. They're looking for new ideas. But they really have a hard time finding anything of worth. My friends, this is where we have a place to fit in. I'm convinced people here are open to hear the good news. The statistics on the bottom of the cover show something that I think is a little different. Yes, they firmly reject Christianity, but San Franciscans are almost 20% of them volunteer their time, and 80% of them give their money to worthwhile causes. They do care in this city, but we're not the same, and we need to find a way to speak to that town, that city. My dear friends, here in O-First, like Paul, that's where we have an amazing opening. We here in this church have good news. We have great ideas to share. As Paul said so eloquently, we have something to offer to those who would search for God. He said, they grope for him and they look for him, even though he's not far from each of us. We're a very traditional church here, but the God here in this church is not the narrow, judgmental, rule-bound God of the right wing that those seekers rejected. The Christ we worship here is not the staid, hateful man that so many of us were afraid of in our childhood churches. No, we offer a God to San Francisco that's a God of love, a God of peace, of hope, of joy, a God who works for justice in the world, in a world that desperately needs justice. We know the good news of a Savior who offers to us and to them a wonderful life. We know an amazing God who can offer fulfillment and a Christ who liberates us and the world from all that is trivial and all that is evil and all that is unfulfilling. We have great good news. We know that unknown God. We just have to find a way of proclaiming that good news that can be heard on the Areopagus. We need to find a way of saying it that's not arrogant, that's not mean. And we need to speak in the marketplace of new ideas. That is this wonderful city of San Francisco. So I invite us today, as we leave here and go back into the world of our offices and restaurants and homes and streets of San Francisco, I invite us to be Paul in the Areopagus in Athens. We should not be afraid of babbling. We have something wonderful to offer. We have to share our unknown God. We know a wonderful, just, peace-loving God of the universe. As the Shema that Chris read us a minute ago in Deuteronomy says, God's joy and hope and love is written on our hearts. Let us share that God with a city that is desperate for that good news and joy. We must recite about God to our children. We must share that love when we are at home and away, when we lie down, when we are awake. We must wear that love and hope as an emblem on our foreheads, and we must proudly place that wonderful God on all of our doorposts and all of our gates in all of our lives. My friends, in this wonderful city of San Francisco, full of fresh new ideas and open-minded seeking people, we have something good to offer to them. We offer something other than that closed-minded, hate-filled tradition and newfound empty idols that they all are finding. In our daily living, let us introduce to this city an unknown God, the great God of the universe, who made earth and everything in it, the God in whom we all live and move and have our being. Amen.